Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pezzegna, the host of Live With Passion. If you've been hurt, you need to forgive somebody, I'm going to help you to forgive and live. Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pezzegna, the host of Live With Passion. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program today. I want to talk to you about forgiveness, not only receiving the forgiveness that God offers you, but forgiving other people and also forgiving yourself. It can be so hard to do, but what it does is it sets you free to live with passion. I call this forgive and live. You don't have to be bitter. You don't have to be resentful. You can really be free. You can break the chains and live with freedom. So I wanted to share with you Matthew chapter 18. Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if somebody sins against me, how often should I forgive him? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said, "Not seven times, Peter, but I tell you, 70 times seven times." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. 70 times seven times. Wow. What that tells me is that it's an over and over and over again process. If you're married, you know that. If you have a family, you know that you don't just forgive one time, you have to forgive over and over and over again. Sometimes you have to forgive dramatic things in your life that happen. I remember the cover of Time magazine years ago showed Pope John Paul II, now in the Catholic Church, Saint John Paul II. It showed him bending over in front of a Turkish assassin in prison, bending over and forgiving this man, listening to this man's confession. What happened was John Paul II was shot at one of his audiences. You know, there were thousands of people there, and he was shot by this Turkish assassin. And in time, he forgave him, went to the prison cell, and heard his confession. What a moving moment that was for the whole Catholic Church, for the whole world, for secular society to see a pope forgiving the man that actually shot him. And it showed me that if he can forgive somebody that tried to kill him, then I can forgive the petty stuff in my life. You see, forgiveness is the most powerful word in the English language. That's what Alan Hunt said. He wrote a book called Everybody Needs to Forgive Somebody. Alan Hunt, Everybody Needs to Forgive Somebody. And he said, forgiveness is the most powerful word in the English language. Wow, that's so true. Those of you who have been hurt, you know that that's true. And you know how hard it is to forgive. Remember how Jesus died in his passion, the Gospel of Luke? Here he is on the cross, last moments of his life. And he looks at the ones who just crucified him, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Wow. This is who Jesus was, a man who radiated forgiveness, a man who loved others, a man who was not bitter and resentful. And because Jesus forgave his captors, because he was so full of forgiveness, we have salvation at the cross. We have forgiveness at the cross. His forgiveness of others is our forgiveness for our sins. You've probably all heard this saying that we owed a debt that we could not pay, and Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. And that's what salvation is, our forgiveness of our sins. And everybody, Scripture tells us that everyone on the face of the earth has sinned, and we all need that forgiveness. So first of all, I'm hoping that you will receive the forgiveness that Jesus offers at the cross, and it's for everybody. You just simply believe that he died for you personally and you can be forgiven. And we all need that because, as the Scripture says, nobody's perfect. None is righteous. This comes right from the letter to the Romans. We all need the wonderful, merciful grace that is God's forgiveness. So let's talk some more about forgiving. And I wanted to tell you that in the confessional, and I'm in the confessional quite often as a Catholic priest, I hear all kinds of stories. People come to me with their most vulnerable secrets, and they share the depths of their heart with me. And one of the, probably the most often confessed sin is anger. But along with that, I hear about this whole thing about people that have been hurt, and they have bitterness and resentment. They want to forgive, but they don't know how to do it. It just seems so hard, and they lay awake at night thinking. That's why I say forgive and live, because when you forgive, that's when you start to live. You don't hold on to the bitterness. You don't hold on to the resentment. So my point is that many people are dealing with people that they need to forgive. In fact, I think, as the book said, Alan Hunt's book, everybody needs to forgive somebody because we've all been hurt. There's been abuse. There's been gossip about us. There's been hurt in many different types of ways. And statistics show us that, and I find this kind of intriguing, statistics, varying statistics, will tell us that about a quarter of the people you meet and have relationships with, about a quarter of the people, 25% of the people, for whatever reason, maybe they don't like your hair or your personality or the way you look or whatever it is, for some reason, they're not going to like you. And they're probably not going to like your ideas and your opinions either. And I've come to terms with that, you know, as a preacher, that, you know, there's a lot of people that I attract. I'm a fisher of men and women. But there's just a certain amount of people that just don't like what I have to say or just don't like my personality or like the way. And we all have to come to grips with that, no matter who you are, whether you're a pope, the president, a preacher, a priest, whoever you are. There's just going to be some people that don't like you. Even Jesus, of course, the most perfect human being who ever lived, very loving, very kind, very forgiving person, and he had people who hated him. Now, it's interesting. One of the scriptures says, they hated me without cause. So people will dislike you even though they don't have a reason. And you got to deal with that. I saw a quote said, don't worry about the people that aren't happy for you. They probably aren't happy for themselves either. Isn't that so true? So we got to come to grips with this, that some people aren't going to accept us, they're not going to like us for whatever reason, and we got to deal with it. And we can't allow their agenda, their pain, their abuse, whatever it is, to overwhelm us. We have to be able to shake it off, be like a duck, water off a duck's back, like Teflon. You can't let it stick to you. Otherwise, you're going to end up bitter and resentful, lying awake at night, and that's stealing your joy, stealing your life. And I want you to be able to forgive and live, and I'm going to help you to do that. Powerful book that I read, I already quoted it to you, Alan Hunt's book, Everybody's Got to Forgive Somebody. And it's so true. In life, everybody's got people, you know, employees, or it could be coworkers, or family members, or in-laws, or people like that, that everybody's got people that they need to forgive. We've all been hurt. So anyway, in this book by Alan Hunt, Everybody's Got Somebody That They Need to Forgive, he tells about 12 stories that people had where they were hurt, and 12 extraordinary stories of forgiveness. And I just want to share with you one, the first story. It was about a man and his wife. They were married. Her name was Millie. They were married for 10 years, had 3 children. And after the 10 years, you know, wanderlust set in and she didn't feel appreciated. You know how all that goes. And she wandered. She strayed. She committed adultery. And he knew about it. In fact, she left him for a whole year, left the children and her husband, lived with her lover for a whole year. It was a devastating situation for the husband and for the family. So, you know, adultery is happening every day all around the world. So anyway, one morning she wakes up and she decides that it's time to go back. What have I done? I got to go back to my husband. But will he accept me? So she goes to the door, to her own house, knocks on the door. Husband opens the door. She bows her head, sheepishly says, will you take me back? And he says, yes. He lifted up her chin and said, yes. Can you imagine? What does it take in a person to be able to forgive being betrayed? In the confessional, I hear from married people, they'll come to me, one of the spouses will come, sometimes as a married couple, they'll come to me, And they will share how their spouse has committed adultery and how they're taking them back. And I think to myself, what a beautiful person this must be to be able to be willing to trust again. Even though their trust has been betrayed and ruptured, what grace in that person to be willing to forgive. And so this is what's happening here. The man decided to forgive her and took her back, but wait, there's more. What happened was, once she came back about a week later, she discovers she's pregnant, and it wasn't from her husband, it was from her lover. And she had to tell her husband that, thank you for taking me back, but I'm pregnant, and it was because of him. And so once the husband found out about it, he did something beautiful. Once again, he said this, he said, we'll make something wonderful come from this, and we will raise the children together. Wow. Wow, wow. We'll raise the child together. What beauty in that person's heart. You see, I think that's what God is trying to do in us. He's trying to fashion us, to mold us into the image of Jesus, to have virtue, to have integrity, to have beautiful character. And one of the virtues that most people don't talk about is forgiveness. We need, of course, courage, we need justice, we need mercy, we need love, we need honesty and kindness. But forgiveness, if you can forgive, you are Christ-like. So here's this man not only forgiving his wife for committing adultery, but also saying, we are going to raise this child together. Something good is going to... People came up to him and said, how could you do that? How could you not only forgive your wife, but then say that you're going to raise the child that she had with somebody else? And this is what he said. He said, how could I not forgive the one who God gave me as my wife? And with all that Christ did for me on the cross, how could I not forgive her? Right after that reading that I just gave to you about Peter, when Peter says, Lord, how many, he thought he was being good. Lord, how many times should I forgive somebody who hurt me? Seven? No, he thought he was being going overboard there. And Jesus said, no, not seven, but 70 times seven. And, you know, that tells me that it's an over and over and over again choice. That you got to keep at it, keep doing it, not just seven times, but endlessly, not 490 times, endlessly. But right after this, Jesus tells a parable. And it's a long one, and I didn't want to, you know, distract you with the length of the parable. But basically, the parable was this. A man who owed millions of dollars was forgiven. And then after he was forgiven, he went and he had somebody in his life that only owed him $1,000, and he throttled the person and wouldn't forgive him. The man who forgave him the large debt found out about it, and he said, how could you, who are forgiven millions of dollars, then have somebody that only owes you a little bit, how could you not forgive after I forgave you everything? And that's God speaking to us. How could you, after being forgiven all of your sins at the cross, and then you have somebody that's hurt you in whatever way that doesn't amount to anything compared to what I've forgiven you, how could you then not forgive? And then he casts them out because he wouldn't forgive. We have that Our Father that is so troubling, you know, and oftentimes we just kind of ramble it and kind of just say it without even thinking about what we're saying. But what we say is this, Father, forgive us our trespasses. Here's a big word, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Don't just live, live passionately. Jesus came to bring us abundant life, a life filled with joy, hope, and purpose. For over a decade, Father Cedric Pizania has been sharing the life-changing message of hope with people around the world. As a priest with a vow of poverty, Father Cedric's programs and resources are created with one purpose in mind, to change lives. Would you consider calling and giving today? It's only because of generous people like you who can give. We are able to reach multitudes every day. We hear life-changing testimonies from people who watch us on television. As always, we treasure the support of our partners. As a priest with a vow of poverty, you can know that 100% of your donation will go directly toward producing and airing Live with Passion. To partner with us, call 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Or go to fathercedric.org. Write us at Father Cedric Ministries, 430 Bunker Hill Road, Houston, Texas, 77024. Thank you.
I remember one of my community members attacked my reputation, and totally unfounded, falsely. It was just he thought that, and I work hard at having a good reputation and having integrity. That's one of my fortes. And so it really hurt, and it was hard. I didn't want to retaliate. I just wanted to be bitter. I didn't want to hurt him. I just didn't want anything to do with him. Just stay away from me. Stay out of my life. But then, of course, you know, I have got to pray the Our Father at Mass, and I've got to teach people about the Our Father, and I don't want to be a hypocrite. And I know it's the right thing to do, and we all have a call to be Christ-like. And I believe that you can get closer to God if you do it God's way. So, and the other thing is, I don't want to be lying in bed at night thinking about that man who hurt me. That's called resentment. That's called bitterness. And the Bible talks about the gall of bitterness. Well, I don't want to have that gall on me. And, you know, he had the gall to say that to me, but I don't want to take that gall and have it toward him. So anyway, I made the decision, and that's what it is. It's a decision. You don't feel like it. People always think, you know, forgiveness, you got to feel like forgiving. Well, you know, you don't. Most of the times you don't feel like forgiving, especially in the beginning. You don't feel like it at all because you've been hurt. But I made the decision, and it's not something I wanted to do. It's something that I knew that I had to do because I've been forgiven, and I don't want to be a hypocrite. I made the decision to forgive him, and I found out that it's not just a one-time thing. It's 70 times 7, over and over and over again. Because every time you see the man, you know, you don't want to just be harsh toward him. I want to be just like I am toward everybody. I don't want to be mean and bitter. I don't want to be passive-aggressive. I don't want to be angry. I want to be just who I am. And I don't want to go to bed thinking about him or lying in bed all upset. So I made the decision to forgive, but here's how I did it. I found out that I couldn't do it on my own. I was powerless to forgive that man because I was really hurt. And I've been hurt by other people in my life too, and this is how I've done it. I simply surrender to God and say, God, I'm powerless over this situation, but all things are possible for you. And I speak about possibility thinking. You'll hear about that in some of my other episodes. And possibility thinking means that all things are possible for God. You can pursue dreams and achieve dreams, dreams that you didn't think were possible. Mountains will move, and events will happen, opportunities, doors will open, all because all things are possible for God. Well, in the same way, because all things are possible for God, you can forgive the people that hurt you through God's grace. So what you do is you make a surrender to God and say, God, I don't feel like it. I don't even like that person, but I'm believing that you're going to give me the grace to forgive them. And as you surrender, God will help you. If you really want to forgive, God will help you to do it. And what it does is, as I said, forgive and live. What it does is it helps you to live. So you're not bitter and not upset. You don't have to worry about that other person all the time. I know that there's some people in your life that you've been hurt by, and I'm not saying that they were right. I'm saying that God's right. And God has simply asked you to forgive. He will help you, and you can do it. So why don't you set yourself free today and make a new decision to forgive that person? And I know some of you have been hurt very badly, like this woman who committed adultery and devastated her husband. Possibly you've been sexually abused or physically abused, and it wasn't right. With forgiveness, we're not saying who's right or wrong. We're just saying that God's right. And that with God's forgiveness, with his power, you can do it. So make that decision, even though your emotions aren't there. But I'll tell you, your emotions eventually will catch up. I don't know if you've ever heard the story in the New Testament about Saint Stephen. I call him a saint because in the Catholic Church, he's been canonized. Stephen was a deacon. And he was a deacon in the early church, a deacon who proclaimed the word of God. And because he was so bold and he spoke out about Jesus Christ, The religious leaders of the day, the Jewish leaders, did not like that, and there was a big separation between the sect of the Way, it was called early on in Christianity. The believers were called the Way. So they didn't like this sect, and Stephen was one of the leaders in it, and they actually put him to death. Stephen was the first martyr in the Christian church, the deacon Stephen. It comes from the Acts of the Apostles. So as Stephen was being stoned, as he was being murdered for just proclaiming Jesus, trying to bring people to salvation, doing something right, as he was being killed, he died with forgiveness on his lips. This comes from the Acts of the Apostles. We believe that Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles and the Gospel, St. Luke. And so, in other words, Stephen died the same way his master died, by forgiving those who murdered him. And he said, don't hold this sin against him. Standing there in the crowd, who was agreeing to the stoning, holding the cloaks of those who were throwing the stones, was a man named Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee, a Jew, a very religious man who was out to persecute the Christian church, out to devastate the Way because it was different from Judaism. And so as he was sitting there, standing there with the cloak, here's Stephen praying that God would forgive those who were murdering him. And look what happened. As you know, Saul was on the way to Damascus to get even more a letter about persecuting the Christians. And as he's on the way, Jesus appears to him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then he had this great conversion. Saul became Paul, the great apostle. Paul himself would be persecuted. He'd have all kinds of people that he needed to forgive. Of course, that incident he remembered too. And then, can you imagine, I believe the reason why Saul became Paul was because Stephen prayed for him. And it was because of that prayer for forgiveness that Saul was converted. And I believe it, as you pray for people that have hurt you, they can be touched by God. I remember one time I was in a counseling situation. A woman comes in, and she was telling me about her daughter who had been physically abused by her son-in-law. And so here's the mother-in-law sitting telling me about her daughter and the son-in-law who abused her physically. And she said, I just can't forgive him. And then she told me more about the situation, how her daughter had been hurt. And she said, I just can't forgive him. Then told me even more about the situation. Then a third time she said, I can't forgive this man. And I looked at her and I said, okay, hold on just a minute. You've said three times that you just can't forgive him. Do you want to forgive him? And she said, I think I do, but I just can't. I said, okay, here's what I'd like for you to do. I want you to change your confession, the words out of your mouth. And I want you to simply say, I can forgive him. Would you try that? And she was slouched down. And she said, okay, I can forgive him. You could tell it was a struggle. I said, okay, good. I want you to say it again. She said, I can forgive him. And she started to straighten up. I said, please, say it again. She said, I can forgive him. And I said, yes. You want to, God's going to help you. Keep making the decision over and over again. And don't say anything negative out of your mouth about that situation. Repeat after me, yes, I can forgive him. And she did that with me, and I told her to do it when she left. And I believe that she's on the way to forgiving her son-in-law. Was her son-in-law right for abusing her daughter? No. But is God right asking us to forgive? Yes, that woman was in torment. But I told her, forgive and live. And it's the same with you. Maybe you've had somebody that's physically abused you, sexually abused you, a divorce. Maybe you've had an adulterous situation, whatever it's been, coworkers talking about you. Forgive and live. I know it hurts. I know it's hard. You can do it. And why do you need to do it? It's the only demand that God has asked us for our salvation. We have been forgiven at the cross. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who sin against us. I want you to be a passionate person, a person who lives with passion, a person fully alive. And in order to do that, you must forgive. Forgiveness is the most powerful word in the English language. Forgive and live. You can do it. I'm praying for you. And don't just live. Live with passion. If you have somebody that you need to forgive, I'm inviting you right now, simply just pray for them. God will help you. Let it go. No more bitterness or resentment. I wanted to share with you a letter that I got from a woman in Pennsylvania, 93 years old. And she said, "Not since Bishop Sheen on TV has any preacher held my attention like you do." Wow, did that touch me. She said, "Years ago, I was turned off by the teaching of the church, and I just need to tell you that you've given me a new focus." Woo, so glad about that. "I'm trying to help people to receive salvation, to become Christ-like. I have all kinds of resources, 21 books to date. One of my books called You Can Change will help you to forgive others. Talks about 70 times 7 and making that decision and allowing God to help you. So I hope that you'll get one of my resources, the CD, DVD of this program, this series. And when you do, it supports my television outreach. I have many partners also. Consider becoming a partner with me. And I guarantee you that when you do, your money will be used to reach out with the gospel all around the world. I'm a priest with a vow of poverty. 100% of your money will go to the production and airing of Live with Passion. Thank you so much in advance. Stay tuned for my announcer. Don't just live, live with passion.
The Bible is full of words about change. It says God gives us a new heart. When we believe in Jesus, we are changed. We are reborn. We are made into a new creation. Change was at the heart of Jesus' message. So no matter what you're facing, the good news is you can change. In Father Cedric's book, You Can Change, you will discover that change is possible. Change can happen when you believe the right things, speak the right things, and visualize the right things. In this book, you'll also learn how to forgive others, manage anger, confront fear, overcome lust, and recover from addiction. This book will inspire and motivate you to change. Call right now to get this special offer. Call 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Go to frcedric.org or write us at Father Cedric Ministries, 430 Bunker Hill Road, Houston, Texas, 77024. 100% of your donations will be used to produce and air Live with Passion. Don't just live, live passionately. Jesus came to bring us abundant life, a life filled with joy, hope, and purpose. For over a decade, Father Cedric Pisania has been sharing the life-changing message of hope with people around the world. As a priest with a vow of poverty, Father Cedric's programs and resources are created with one purpose in mind, to change lives. Would you consider calling and giving today? It's only because of generous people like you who can give. We are able to reach multitudes every day. We hear life-changing testimonies from people who watch us on television. As always, we treasure the support of our partners. As a priest with a vow of poverty, you can know that 100% of your donation will go directly toward producing and airing Live with Passion. To partner with us, call 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Or go to FatherCedric.org. Write us at Father Cedric Ministries, 430 Bunker Hill Road, Houston, Texas, 77024. Thank you.